Thank you and good morning, everyone. And welcome again to St. Mark's on Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. You've learned well. If you haven't met me, my name's Andrew and I'm the minister at St. Mark's. And we're going to be talking about the readings and the theme of our service today. And today, of course, is certainly the biggest day or the most important or central day of the Christian calendar each year. When we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, like we do on Easter Sunday today, we are celebrating what is truly at the centre of our faith as Christians. This is the foundation upon which the whole of Christianity is built. It's true that without the resurrection of Jesus, without this event, there would be nothing at all left of the Christian church, and it's why we're here today. So as we do all our readings from the Bible today, and we sing our songs, and we celebrate Holy Communion together later, I'd really like our attention to be continually drawn back to this central event, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and what it means for us today. And all the different Bible readings that we've had, the four different readings that we've had today, help us to do that. Now, I think it's worth stating clearly up front, because some people who are here or those who are listening online may not necessarily understand what we mean when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Just to be clear, this means the belief that after his death on the cross, Jesus did not stay dead, but in fact came back to life several days later, and he was seen by many of his friends at the time, as our reading said. Now, when he came back, there seemed to be something different. He had a kind of new way of living, but it was certainly him in a new life. And people saw him and they spoke to him and they had to take in the meaning of this event and live on the basis of that in the future. Now, this thing may have happened. It may have just been one of those strange paranormal events that we can't explain, or it may have been some kind of misunderstanding or even a fraud. And all those explanations have been made over the years since then about what happened. But to be a Christian is to be someone who believes that this event was real. Jesus did rise from the dead, and that it has dramatic and even cosmic implications for us all. And we believe that it changes our whole life. Now, the resurrection story of Jesus is an interesting one because it's something that we only ever hear about indirectly in the Bible by the effects it had. We have actually no direct account of the actual moment of the resurrection itself. In the gospel story, such as the Gospel of Matthew that we read this morning, the resurrection of Jesus is something that happened while no one else was watching. By the time the disciples of Jesus, like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it says, get to the tomb, Jesus is already gone. He's already risen, and the angel tells them, as we've heard, he's not here. They should go on to Galilee to go and meet up with him. And in my observation, this starts a kind of pattern in the story after here, after that point, which is that the disciples of Jesus always seem to be sort of running to catch up with Jesus and what he's doing. Jesus is moving from place to place and starting new things and giving new directions to people. And so they need to follow along. They need to get on board in order not to be left behind. And the resurrection of Jesus then seems to start this kind of snowballing spiritual movement from place to place that keeps rolling forward, and it's still on the move today. We're still trying to catch up to Jesus as his followers today. He's still on the move. One thing that we see in our reading then is that this movement, which is based on the resurrection of Jesus, creates something that we call the gospel. Now, the gospel is a word in the New Testament which means the basic good news about Jesus. The word gospel means good news, that his followers are going to be sharing as they go out into the world to talk about it. And very quickly, we know the Christian people developed this summary of what they call their good news or their gospel. And this is the things that they would tell people as they went out from Jerusalem as missionaries into the rest of the world. And so we read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 the way that the Apostle Paul described this gospel or the good news as he understood it. He said, as we heard, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." This is, for him, the good news. This is the gospel, and it's a description of what Jesus did and also what it means according to the Scriptures. So when we say the Scriptures, this is what the early Christian people called what we call the Old Testament today. And so if we want to understand the gospel, we want to understand their good news about Jesus and what it meant for him to rise from the dead, we also need to go back to these scriptures ourselves. And that's why we included in our readings today the reading from Psalm 118 that Claire did and from Isaiah 25 that Steph used to open our service. For instance, Isaiah 25 is part of a prophecy which was written hundreds of years before Jesus about God's plan for the salvation of the world. And this prophecy of Isaiah identifies the main enemies of the human race, which are suffering and death. These are forces that hold us down or that hold us back from fulfilling our purpose for which we were made and which God made us for. In verse 7 of chapter 25, Isaiah describes death as, in one version it says, the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers over all the nations. So Isaiah is saying that all of humanity, including you and me, are suffocated by the fear and anxiety around death, the reality of it. And it drives us, it enslaves us into doing the terrible things that we do to each other and to try and hold on to our lives. And it's death that steals away the things that we love. It steals away our hope for the future and the people that we care about. Death is the reality that locks the world into injustice and oppression. And death brings grief with it, the loss and the suffering that we experience as well. And so the heart of the faith that Isaiah had, his hope, was that God will destroy the power that death has over humanity. That God will give us what we need to liberate us from this power, set us free. So he writes, as we heard, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that envelops all people, the sheet that covers the nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. So the scriptures talk about this hope and how it will be fulfilled by God himself coming to live with his people and overcoming death on their behalf. And so that is why the resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of the Christian good news. We believe the hope has been fulfilled as Jesus, God's Son, has risen from the dead. Now, if you were here on Good Friday, I spoke then about the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross. And so on Friday, we talked about how the cross of Jesus works for us as human beings because it shows that God has identified with us. He has identified with people in the deepest and darkest places of our lives. So wherever we go, there he is. He has identified with our sin and our failure, with our abandonment and fear, and with the abuse and cruelty that we receive, and has brought his presence into those places. And so then, on Easter Sunday today, we realise that the identification of God with human beings has another side. So if we're identified with Jesus in the lowest place, on the cross, we will also be identified with him in the highest place. If he dies with us, then we will be resurrected with him. That means that all the blessings of God's life are now available to us through the resurrection. God's love, his joy, his peace, his hope, and the promise of eternity. And that's why the overwhelming message of Easter Sunday, and we hope it will be, is that of rejoicing, being happy and being glad and thankful. This is very good news for the world. It's a good news. And that's why Psalm 118 is in the readings for today. And this is a song you might have picked up as we read it that was written by someone who was in a very good mood that day. Maybe they just won a battle or their team had won the grand final, something like that. You know the feeling. They believed that God had done something wonderful for them. And it says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Now, as a left-hander, I find the implication that God is right-handed to be a little deflating, but I'll let that go for today because it is a rejoicing psalm. It's a wonderful thing. God's right hand has done mighty things. But this victory that he writes about in Psalm 118 has obviously come as a turnaround in this person's circumstances, from fairly low or fairly desperate circumstances to victory. And that's why it's a perfect song for Easter Sunday, because the resurrection of Jesus came after his death on the cross. out of what appeared to be this ultimate discouragement and failure on Good Friday. But it's that event that made the victory of the resurrection possible. And so the rejoicing is even greater. As Psalm 118, verse 22 to 24 says, and this could apply to Jesus, and we often have, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad." So I think that for us today on Easter Sunday, the question is, how do we respond to the good news of the resurrection? Because it's an invitation to all of us to hope and to trust in the future, despite any of the current circumstances that we face. It's the assurance that there's nothing, not even death, that can overcome God's plan for us and for our world. He has defeated that. And so the resurrection is the window of eternity into our lives now, through which God's blessing comes to us. It opens us up for us a reality where rejoicing and gladness never ends and never will. So as we go on in the rest of our service, we're going to pray and we're going to sing, we're going to share communion together on the basis of our hope in the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we're here. So I'd invite us all to rejoice in that wonderful good news today. So let's spend some time in prayer. Russell's going to lead us in praying for our world on the basis of this hope.